Blog Talk Radio.
Good morning, and welcome to Blog Talk Radio, a place where mothers and daughters come to nurture their relationships and to have an honest conversation, which increases the bond between mothers and their daughters. First, I'd like to say thank you, God, for an opportunity each Saturday morning when I get up and as I sit and look out at the beautiful sky in South Florida. Give thanks for the opportunity to be able to connect to mothers and daughters around the world. That's a wonderful thing, the internet, a creation that you can communicate with individuals not even knowing and have an effect on their lives, hopefully a positive effect. That's what I aim for. And gives me an opportunity to share a thought and to bring on some wonderful mothers and daughters from around the world that also share their feelings on our topics as we try to discover some interesting things that will have a positive effect on mothers and daughters that they can carry back into their family life, personal life, life of their friends, and especially what we focus on is the relationship between the mother and her daughter. So I always want to give thanks to God for a wonderful opportunity and also Blog Talk Radio, giving us an opportunity to be able to do this. This week our topic is a very exciting one, and it's one that has always been very dear and close to my heart. I had an effect on this topic. I guess I should say this topic has had an effect on me some years ago. And whenever I'm speaking, as I travel, this is one of those subjects that I usually mention. It's a situation that I'm going to tell you about later on in the radio show that always kept me grounded and centered when it comes to mother and daughter relationships. Our topic this week is, how can a mother deal with an unwanted birth or with the unwanted birth of her daughter? And that may bring up a lot of thoughts in your mind. You say to yourself, how can a mother not want a daughter? And, of course, it's inclusive of sons. But just keep in mind that when we say daughter, you know, if you have sons, the effects are the same. We're talking about children. But my focus and my ministry calls me to deal with the relationship between mothers and their daughters. So you'll hear me say mother and daughter, not exclusive of fathers and sons. But how can a mother deal with the unwanted birth of her daughter? And that's pretty deep. You know, how can you not want a child? We'll talk about that. If you have a topic or a subject, something of interest that you want us to talk about, you know, you can email me at drbessie@mdbn.org. And, of course, let me introduce myself. I am Dr. Bessie Fletcher, and I'm your host for the Blog Talk Radio show on Saturday mornings, Mother and Daughter Bonding Roundtable. And what we do, we invite you to come around the table and just imagine you sitting there talking to your best girlfriend, talking to your daughter, talking to your mother, just having a decent conversation. As we build this momentum of mother and daughter roundtables, the concept within the mind, and have it translate into the physical, I want you to maybe start pulling together mother and daughter roundtable, sitting around talking about your issues, and you'll find that most of you have similar situations, and you're not in a situation by yourself. But it also gives you an opportunity to grow from someone else's experience. That's the whole essence behind the mother and daughter bonding roundtable. The radio show is to bring you together and share thoughts, and you can say, wow. You know, because a lot of times we will think that we're the only one going through a certain thing at a certain time. But if you simply find someone that you can trust and share a thought, you don't necessarily have to have money to go to a psychologist because, you know, a lot of times, with, especially with the economy today, you says, well, I can't afford a psychologist at this moment. Well, you know, find someone that you see that seems to have a level head that you can discuss something or that your situation with, or just get you a group of mothers that is going through similar situations, and I guarantee you, you'll come up with something that will give you information to add to what you already have to create a solution. Because remember, as I tell my clients, the answer is always within you. You have the answer. Sometimes you just need something to trigger it so that it can become very clear, and as some people say, the light bulb will come on. So I say sit back, relax, get your favorite drink and a cup of coffee, cup of tea, whatever. Call your friends, your mother and daughter friends. Tell them, you know, the Fletcher is on Blog Talk Radio, and today we have an exciting topic on how can a mother deal with the unwanted birth of her daughter. And we're going to get into that. I think you're going to enjoy this topic because it's deep. I'm going to take you someplace that most people really don't want to go. But it's something that we have to deal with. And it's something that allows you to either look at your situation and say, wow, I need to improve on it, or I'm not so bad after all, you know. So regardless of that, you're going to look at yourself from within and then maybe make some adjustments accordingly. We all can make adjustments. I work on it every day with my daughter. How can I adjust? Because each day is a new day. Each day is a new opportunity, and you're faced with different experiences. So you can't assume that what you did yesterday is going to be sufficient for today. That's not always true. I see the switchboard is lit up. I truly appreciate that. It gives me motivation to keep talking. Thank you guys for being there. So let's get to some exciting things, some fun things. Let's look at what's happening at the Mother and Daughter Bonding Center. Mother and Daughter Bonding Center now is growing. It's revamping. It's looking at new ways to bring in mothers and daughters to sit down and have the conversation that will be fruitful to their business, to their relationship. We have a group of mothers and daughters that own their own business that come in, and they are the ambassadors. Each Tuesday they meet, and we discuss issues of how we can grow each other's businesses, as well as dealing with mother and daughter issues. So we have a twofold there, and it helps the Mother and Daughter Bonding Center and also helps them, because Mother and Daughter Bonding Center have this unique training opportunity for entrepreneurs, and that is a dear spot to me in my heart. I just believe that you should own your own business. I've been a believer of that. I've worked for myself for the last 30 years, and no, it's not easy. It is a rough ride, but if it's something in you to be an entrepreneur, it's never going to leave you. It's always going to be there. It's always going to come up. It's always going to remind you, hello, I'm here. You know, I feel like we can create something. Let's create a model. You don't always have to quit your job to be an entrepreneur. You can also create a business, and you can work the business on the side and work your regular job. A little harder, but, you know, hey, that's the price you pay. And it's worth it because it fulfills that passion that's inside of you. And as an entrepreneur, it's basically just dealing with the passion. You look at your passion. What is that you're passionate about? And create that in such a way that it may somehow or another bring some type of reward to you. And it's not always monetarily, because if you wait on that, you will never get your passion done. Your passion sometimes is just a reward of getting a thank you, or seeing a smile on somebody's face, or seeing some suggestion that you made and made a difference in their lives. And I get paid like that a lot. Doesn't pay the bills, but it sure enough does a lot for my soul and my spirit. and that's enough for me. How can a mother deal with the unwanted birth of her daughter? Let's look at that. Again, I'm Dr. Bessie Fletcher, and I'm saying this again because I see some new people coming on, and I'm your host of the Blog Talk Radio Show, Mother and Daughter Bonding Roundtable. If you wish to email me, you can email me at drbessie@mdbn.org. That's drbessie@mdbn.org. What's coming up for mothers and daughters? We have the Mother and Daughter Cruise. This is a fundraiser for the Mother and Daughter Bonding Network. So you need to relax, you need to get away, and you can also make a contribution helping the Mother and Daughter Bonding Network do what we do. The radio program is one of the things that we do, the workshops. A lot of times we do them without actually charging the participants. The Mother and Daughter Bonding Network is a 501c3 nonprofit organization, and our mission is to help mothers and daughters create a better relationship, which creates a healthier family. So sometimes we don't have all the funds to do the necessary things that we want to do, but we have a group of women and volunteers that come in and help me make that happen. So it's just not about me. It's about a group of volunteers that come in, and we do what's necessary to make it happen, to increase and show our love and our interest in manifesting a better relationship between mothers and daughters. On November the 12th through the 15th, 2010, the Mother and Daughter Bonding Cruise is going to take off from Miami. We're going to the Bahamas. It's going to be a short cruise. You leave out on Friday and you come back on Monday morning. And Monday morning, I think, is a holiday on November the 15th. So it gives you an opportunity. You don't have to be off 2 days. You get a day off for the holidays. It's a cruise for adults, mothers, and daughters, 18 and older. The daughter has to be at least 18. We're going to deal with issues that's going to deal with adults. So therefore, in November, 18 and older. But it doesn't exclude the other women in your life. When I say mother and daughter, we're talking about, we're also including mother-in-laws, daughter-in-laws, sister-in-laws, sisters, stepmothers, stepdaughters, grandmothers, adopted mothers, or just those women that have a significant value in someone's life. And you feel that, you know, we want to go on this cruise, because if there's something out there that it can increase our bond, that can put us in a position that we can be better for each other, we want to find that. That's what you have to say to yourself. Do you want to increase the bond that you have with your daughter, your mother, your mother-in-law, or you just want to stay the way that you are? Because if you want to stay the way that you are and you want to live in the relationship that you're in, and you do not want to attend this cruise, because that is not what we're about. We are about when you come on this cruise, when you walk off, you are going to be a different person than you were when you came on. Because we want you to send to us your reasons for coming on the cruise, and we're going to build that cruise agenda around your issues so that we make sure that you are personally affected and that all of your needs are, that you write to us, are addressed. So you're not going to come on and say, you know, well, I went and it never really got to what I wanted to talk about. No, we're going to build it around your agenda. So you can't walk off and say, I didn't get what I wanted. So tell your friends and family, even if you know another mother and daughter, tell them, you know, if you want to change, if you want better, it's going to happen. And I can say, honestly, I've been doing this since 1999, and I've never had a mother and daughter to attend a mother and daughter workshop that left unbonded or strengthened their bond. The effects of the mother and daughter coming in to the session and the effects of the mother and daughter going out of the session was from one extreme to the other. And I don't take any credit from that, because it's spiritual, and it's way far beyond my power. I have no power. But within the power from me and Jesus Christ, it happens. The Holy Spirit moves, the emotions come out, the air is cleared, the mind is receptive, and mothers and daughters leave in a better place. In fact, they're in such a better place, half the times when I contact them, they're good. They get the techniques that they need, and they use them, and they work on it. So if you're interested in the Mother and Daughter Bonding Cruise, November the 12th through the 15th, give Roberta a call at 305-628-140. I'm sorry, 1420. That's 305-628-1420. And Roberta will take care of all of the travel arrangements with at the Academy Travel. All right, so much for that. I truly appreciate it. Share it with your friends. Again, our exciting conversation today, keep in mind, we only deal with an honest conversation. So when I open up the lines today, we want your honest opinion about the conversation. You might want to share your story. You can share the story of someone else that you know of. How can a mother deal with an unwanted birth of her daughter? Again, we are at 347-539-5078. To listen, just click 1, and I will see you and get you on as soon as possible. When I think about today's topic, I think about what the mother's life experience and about her mental status prior to conception of the child. When we see the different personalities of our children, if you think back and think about where you were at that time mentally, you can really see some of those effects in your child or your daughter once they are born and they start developing and showing their personalities. Just think back where you were mentally, and it will give you some suggestions, some idea as to, you know, where you were mentally and how that affects the child. And that's what we want to talk about today. The mother's mental state has an imprint on the daughter's mental state. And that reminds me of a topic. Some time ago I was reading, there's a lady named Barbara Feinstein, and she did a study on dealing with the lifelong effects from pre-birth memories. Sometimes I think when some mothers, you know, when they become pregnant, especially the younger ones, can you imagine being an adult and not knowing? And you just shift just for a moment and think about a teenager, someone that's 14, 15, 16 years old, that's pregnant, haven't lived long enough to have enough knowledge. And usually if a teenage girl is pregnant, then somehow or another it kind of falls from maybe the mother was a teen mother as well. So you're thinking about the knowledge and the information being passed on to the daughter may be limited. But, you know, until you do some studying and thinking about the conscious and the unconscious mind, you may not get into a thought as deep as what we're going to talk about today, and that is the lifelong effects of pre-birth memories. And you say, how can a mother deal with an unwanted birth of her daughter? It has a lot to do with it because of the lack of knowledge. And that brought to mind a situation I was faced with some years ago during a workshop. That particular workshop, a story was told, and I had to deal with a situation that has affected my life from that moment on, and that workshop was in 2000. Each workshop that I deal with when I'm talking to mothers and daughters, that particular workshop, that particular situation pops up in my mind. because it actually grabbed me and it took my attention to a place that I never thought about. I just assumed that every mother and daughter basically had the same type of relationship that I had with my mother and with my daughter. Not that it's perfect, but this was to the very extreme of my thoughts. I never really went there because I had no reason to go there. I didn't know anyone that was in that situation, and so I had no knowledge. And from that point on, it gave me a different perspective when I look at mother and daughter relationships. And it's not an easy thing, but our life experiences does and will affect the unborn child. And as we go along and we're talking today, it was during this workshop that I discovered the effects of a young daughter feelings of experiencing the lack of love from her mother. She was only 12 years old. And 12 years old, she's still just a baby. Tore my heart to pieces. And like I said, I'll share the story as we go. But when I was thinking back about Mrs. Feinstein's report, she stated that before, during, and after the birth of the infant daughter, and I actually put daughter there, she says infant, can experience fear, pain, and suffocation, a trauma. And when you think of that, if an infant before birth experiences fear, pain, suffocation, and trauma, then it has to come from the outer experience or the mental experience of the mother. The physical trauma is given immediate attention because, you know, most times when a child is born and there's something wrong, the doctor immediately sees it and gives all this attention. We need to do this. What can we do? Surgery to make it right. Whereas the mental trauma experienced by the pregnancy in most cases are overlooked. We just assume that when a person is pregnant, that they're okay, looks good, oh, she's carrying the baby well, and you know, most of us could say, oh, you having a girl or you having a boy? Most of the times you can pick a boy, that's just the old saying that, and I guess I'm from the old school, that dates me, but you know, you look and the baby's positioned in a certain way, and you could say, you having a boy? And they'll say yes, and you assume, oh, wow, everything is good. But we really don't know the mental state of the mother that's actually carrying the child. The infant daughter can suffer emotional scars from early pains from the experience from the mother. And the infant daughter may not be able to articulate what has happened during this period of the 9 months. But that doesn't mean that the mind, the body system doesn't record it. See, that's the way we are built. You have a subconscious mind, and it records everything. And the imprint of those events, although repressed or not consciously remembered, they lie in the subconscious mind, and they influence the feelings, the attitude, and the behavior of the child. So when the child is born, you will see different personalities, and as things happen from the mother, it triggers an effect from the child from an experience that had been imprinted during infancy, which actually reproduces itself through a behavior. So therefore, what we have are the mother experiences coming out through the child, something that most people are not being consciously aware of, not even doctors, because doctors focus mostly on the physical. Preventing problems is always more desirable than to correct them later. An ideal world is that the baby would be conceived by a parent who wanted to be pregnant and was able and willing to care for the baby. birth would be as stress-free and natural as possible, and the newborn immediately is placed in the mother's arm, and the parent or the mother would, you know, care for them. That's what we expect. The baby is born, is placed in the mother's arm. A newborn should be in contact with the mother immediately. And it's like a kangaroo, you know, boom. For the first 9 seconds, you know, it's like there's a bonding process. It's important for the emotional scars of the child. Now, the popular word that's currently used is bonding. And that's what I teach. That's my belief system. You have to bond with the child immediately. You bond during the 9 months, mentally, and immediately, physically, the connection, the mind and the body comes together. That's the bond between the mother and the daughter. And that's where my story begins. The story that I'm going to tell you was about a young girl that was 12 years old. She came into the workshop, and as usual, I greet everyone that comes in and try to make sure that I say hello. And I try, that's my way of bonding so that I can connect. I speak to everyone before we get started. Just a little small conversation. And the young girl started crying. She was 12, and I asked her what was wrong. And she said, I don't know why I'm here. And I said, what do you mean you don't know why you're here? Did your mother not tell you why you were coming? Excuse me. She said, yeah, she said something about mother and daughter bonding or something like that. She said, but I still don't know why I'm here. I don't know why she's fronting, because she doesn't really like me. So why does she want to come to a mother and daughter bonding workshop? She doesn't even like me. And at that time, she started crying, and it just got out of control. And so the mothers and daughters were coming in, and they were sitting, and everybody was focusing on this particular child. Now, when we're in mother and daughter bonding workshops, I don't control the setting. I allow the group to take on its own life. At this particular time, this was the most important thing that we needed to deal with, and that's just a child that was crying, and there were some reasons behind it. So I was trying to get to it, and I thought, okay, maybe she's just a little angry, because I have all kinds, when I'm dealing with teenagers, they come with all kinds of emotions, you know. But this was a little different. I kept talking to her, and she kept crying, and her mother kept throwing her head to the side, sucking her teeth and rolling her eyes and acting as if, there she goes again. And I said to her, I said, you need to focus on your daughter, because she's not crying just to be crying. She has some emotional scars. She has something that she's dealing with, and I could see you need to connect with her. Well, she's always like that, and started making excuses. And the young lady says, no, she doesn't really like me. And when I tell people she doesn't like me, they don't believe me. And she says, the only person that I have that I can get along with is my father. And her father was married to another lady, which didn't like the relationship she had with her father. So that put a strain. She couldn't go to her father's house, because then she had a stepmother that didn't like her. And then in her mother's house, she felt like her mother didn't like her, because she had an older brother, a younger brother, and she was in the middle. So immediately I said, oh, okay, so what we're dealing with is a middle child syndrome. So I started focusing from that perspective. I said, okay, well, maybe this is it. But then I soon discovered that wasn't it. So the mother finally looked at me, and she said, okay, let me tell you what happened. No, I don't like her. I never did like her. I didn't want her. When I went in and had the sonogram, and the doctor told me that I was going to have a girl, I told him, no, take it again. And he did it. He had three. Each time it was a girl. And she said, I prayed and asked God, please, do not let me have a girl. I do not want a girl. She said, for 9 months, I hated her. Now, you can imagine a 12-year-old girl crying as her mother is saying these words. I hated her. I didn't want her. And I prayed and asked God, please let me have a boy. I did not want a girl. So with the young girl, knowing that her mother hated her but not knowing why, and she turned to her mother and said, you know what? You made me think that I was crazy. I knew you didn't like me. And I kept asking you, and you kept saying something was wrong with me. I knew you didn't like me. So I'm gonna speed the story up just a little bit so it won't drag out. But in the meantime, I was hurt. I was devastated. I did not know what to do. I said, Lord, you're going to have to help me with this one, because I never heard a mother say they didn't like a child. She said, and I can tell you, she said, when she was born, the doctor laid the baby on my stomach. And she looked at me, and I looked at her, and I knew it was going to be war. Every mother in that room went, oh! Shocked. Now, keep in mind, if the doctor laid the baby on her stomach, that means she didn't accept the child in her arms. So the bonding process never took place. As she raised the child was 12, and the child still feels disconnected from the mother. So it goes back to our topic. And the topic is, how can a mother deal with the unwanted birth of her daughter? That child dealt with that, and she said to her mother, now I feel better. Because at least I know you didn't want me, and that's the reason why you treat me the way that you do. I can understand that. And that's a 12-year-old. It ended up, after a few weeks, of course, a case like that, you have to take outside of the workshop, and it became a one-on-one counseling session. And over a few months, the mother took sick, nearly died, and that's when the bonding process took place. It was the hardest thing for me because I couldn't fix it. All I could do was listen, but I know I gave them me 24 hours a day. I told the young lady, here's my phone number. I am 24 hours to you until we work through that. So that's the story that really keeps me centered when I'm dealing with mothers and daughters, and I have to realize that the reactions and the effects of the daughters are not all about them. A lot of it is based on the environment, the physical, the mental conditions of the mother prior to birth. So I'm going to open the lines up, and I'm going to see who wants to talk to me about how can a mother deal with the unwanted birth of her daughter. Anyone want to talk to me? Wow. I see a lot here. Okay, 631, I'm going to go here first. Good morning. Good morning. Hello? Hello? Hey. Good morning. Good morning. Good morning. Can you hear me? I don't know what's going on with the switchboard. 336, can you hear me?
Yes, I can hear you. Can you hear me?
Yes, I can hear you. Good morning.
Good morning. How are you this morning, Dr. Bessie?
I am doing just great.
Good. Well, I was just listening to the topic, and you said something earlier that just really struck a thought with me, and you mentioned that you just said lack of knowledge, you know, when we are having a child or expecting a child, and that causes the lack of knowledge of that mother can have that kind of disdain for the unbirthed child. And I started thinking lack of knowledge, and the truth of the matter is a lot of times mothers are just not equipped. Lack of knowledge is definitely what it is. They're just not equipped to be mothers. And one of the things that they're missing is love. And how you can deal with an unwanted child is love. Now, I know we throw that term around, but I'm talking about the true meaning of love. God is truly love, and if you don't really understand what love is, there's no way that you can love or want your daughter. There's just no way. You have to get that knowledge, you know, and we're not imparting that in our young girls so that when they become mothers and have their own daughters, they don't know. They're not equipped with it. And the Bible tells us that the only way we are taught love is by the Holy Spirit. You know, it's not an action word. A lot of people think love is this tingly feeling, you know. They see a baby and, oh, the baby's so cute. And we think, you know, how could you not love that child because the baby's just so cute and she's just adorable. But that's not love. Love is not that. Love is something that is taught. It's in your spirit. It really doesn't have a feeling. In fact, you often have to do acts of love when you don't even feel like doing acts of love. That's truly when the Holy Spirit is imparting that into your spirit. And just real quickly, the way that a mother can deal with an unwanted child, in Ephesians chapter 3, Paul writes to the church of Ephesians concerning love, and he writes to them that he prays that God in his glorious riches will strengthen them through the power of his spirit in their inner being, in other words, in their spirit. And he goes on to say in verse 17, so that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith, and I pray that you, being rooted and established in love, may have power, together with all the saints, to grasp how wide, how long, and high, and deep is the love of Christ. And I started thinking about that, how wide and long and high and deep is the love of Christ. And the only thing in the natural, and I'll be real brief because you probably got other people, but the only thing in the natural that could make me just kind of get a visual of something so wide, so long and high and deep was if you're in the middle of the ocean. You know, if you've been on a cruise ship, you know that when there is a point when you're on that water where you can't see the end of that water. It's so wide, you can't see where it ends, where it starts or where it begins. And it's so deep that it could sink a ship in, like the Titanic, and never be found for 73 years. That's how deep it is. You know, the water looks clear. We don't realize how deep that water is. And then it's so long that you can cruise on the water for years and never repeat the same route. You know, if you just look at that in the natural and understand that even that does not compare to the love of God. When you get that in your spirit, Paul says that it is power. And when you get that power inside of you, that is how you can in turn love your child. Because there was a time where everybody was unwanted. There's a situation where you were unwanted or undesirable, you know, whether it was in school or on the job or in your family. And there is, truth be told, if we really be honest, we know that there's things that we have done to deserve God not to even want us. So we've all been in a situation where we could be unwanted. But until you truly understand the love of God for you, even in your undesirable state, he still loves you. Then when you get that in your spirit, then you have the power to love and to accept that child. And so one more thing. I just want to suggest, and this is what I do. I go through and I read this and I put, instead of it saying, I pray that you, I say, I pray that I, make it personal, pray that I be rooted and grounded, so that I will know and that I will have the full measures of God. And when we equip young girls before they even become mothers with that, And if you're in the situation and you already have an unwanted child and you want to know how to do it, you have to go to the Holy Spirit to get that.
Mm-hmm. You know, and speaking, thank you for that. Speaking of that, that's the actual mission of the Mother and Daughter Bonding Center. It's to have mothers and daughters come, because a lot of times mothers are not taught, and therefore they don't have it to teach their daughters. So when you're talking about the Mother and Daughter Bonding Center, you're talking about an opportunity to come together so that we can learn and teach each other to grow, so that we can have what we need to pass it on to our daughters and therefore affect the next generation. So I appreciate that. Thank you very much, Angela.
Sure.
Hold one second. Good morning.
Good morning.
Good morning. How are you doing?
I'm good. How are you this morning?
I am doing great. Who's this, Dennis?
Yes, it is.
Okay. What do you think about our topic this morning, Dennis?
I think it's an interesting topic, and I concur pretty much with Angela. She basically touched on a lot of things that I was going to say. But mothers have to look at, the Bible tells us in Psalms 127 that children are an heritage from the Lord. Another version said children are a gift from the Lord. So when mothers begin to look at that child as a gift instead of a burden, I feel that they could accept their child even more, because we never know what purpose that child has been sent and why God has allowed that child to come through our bloodline. That child could be one of the biggest prophets that God has for this end time generation. We cannot be so quick just to just say, oh, my God, I'm pregnant, and think doom and gloom on the pregnancy. We should embrace that child even while they're in our womb, begin to pray over that child, begin to minister to that child from the Word of God, and speak positive things over that child even while we're carrying it in our womb. A lot of mothers don't do that, and as Angie said, a lot of people just don't know. They don't know what true love is. They don't know about the fact that true love is sacrificing versus always receiving. It's a point of giving of yourself. But a mother should never look at that child as doom and gloom. And even when they found themselves in that area, find themselves falling into that pit, I suggest they seek spiritual counseling. It's okay to go to the doctors, but sometimes you need spiritual counseling, because doctors have a tendency to offer you alternatives that may not be godly, they think it's in your best interest, but they may not be godly, it may not be godly advice. So I always suggest that you seek godly wisdom. If you don't have a pastor, if you see a spiritual mother, someone that you're close to in your family, to seek godly counseling.
Mm-hmm. Good advice, and that's what we are doing next school term. We at the Mother and Daughter Bonding Center opening up a Christian counseling department in one of the schools. The other thing that I wanted to say in conjunction with the story, so that we could keep on track with the topic, the mother, in return, it was discovered that she was molested by the men that came to visit her family. It's like she said, I became the bouncing ball or the sex object for every uncle, cousin, brother. It's like they discussed it, and she was it. So it actually got down to experiences that she had prior to, and that was she was molested by the majority of the men that came in and out of her family home. So she, in turn, internalized why she did not want a daughter, because she did not want a daughter to experience the things that she experienced. So when you're talking about a young girl going through and not telling anyone that she's experiencing certain things, therefore she just keep it within herself in her own mind and dealing with it. The mental effect brings on scars to the younger, I mean, the unborn child. So when you are saying that, it's so important that we have mother and daughter roundtables everywhere. You know, you don't have to wait on the mother and daughter bonding center. We're not trying to be the all in all. What we're trying to do is set a trend that women will start doing mother and daughter roundtables and mother and daughter discussions and helping young girls and helping mothers that are still in the birthing period of their lives to look at, you know, what is it that I did not get and how can I get what I need to improve or get better, and that's where the bonding process take over. So what suggestions do you all make? Let's say, Angela, what suggestions would you give to a young girl that's in that state because she doesn't know where to go? She doesn't go to a mother, and yet she's been violated, and having a child, have not passed that on.
The best advice that I could give is that that young girl really needs to come into the knowledge of Christ. He's the only thing. The Holy Spirit is the only thing that can get her right on her in her spirit in order to deal with those situations. He's the answer to everything. And it's, and I just, if I was one near her, then that would definitely be a person there to counsel this young woman. Like Janice said, she would just have to pray for anyone in that situation that we know, that somebody could come if and give that person a word of good counsel, because, you know, we don't always know what everybody's going through, and they may not share, but God knows, and God can send somebody. And that's just our prayer for someone in that type of situation, because God is the only one who can help them.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Janice, do you have something to add to that?
Yeah, pretty much the same thing. God is the only one. And in a situation when you find yourself, you have a child that you don't want, first of all, you have to sit, you have to just really, I feel like as a mother, we have to accept the situation. You, even if you, if at that time, if you don't have a personal relationship with God at that time, you have to really just, okay, I'm pregnant, I have this child, and first you have to come to a self-being of accepting the situation, because it's there. I mean, it's nothing you can do about it at that time except accept that you are pregnant, and then you got to decide what you're going to do. Now, me personally, I believe in having the child. I just don't believe in having an abortion. That's just me. But if you're not going to be there for that child, I suggest that you would give that child a fair chance in life to someone who would give that child a fair chance in life if you're not going to do it. But before you make any drastic decision, whether it's adoption or giving your child to someone else to raise, I think you should seek God. You should really seek God, seek godly counseling. A lot of people are not quick to go to church, or they're not comfortable talking to a pastor, but we all know somebody somewhere that we have just that seed of mustard seed of faith in. Somebody that we feel like, well, maybe I can just talk to them, even if I have to give it to them in a parable story and not give it as myself. But like Angie said, it's something that you have to take to prayer and trust God with. Because even if you're born again and you're a husband and wife team raising children, you still got to go before the throne every day for them. Because it's a job, it's an investment. It's when you're raising children, you feel every emotion that's possible when you're raising them. So you still have to go to God concerning the answers.
And the raising, when you say raising them, it, you know, some people may think, oh, from birth to 18 and then you're through. Well, that's not true. You're raising them as long as you're on the earth. Because the raising part never stops. You know, and that's the part that we have to realize, that we have to adjust as mothers our power of influence over the child or the daughter as the child grows and develops in their own stages, if that makes sense. So, you know, your power gets a little less as the child powers increase. And so,
that's nice.
But you're still in a rearing stage, always. My grandmother turned 95 a couple weeks ago. My dad is 75. And I mean, really, she still talks to him and about him as if he was a teenage boy or a young man. And it's amazing. And I look at her, 95 years old, but to her, she's still in the same position. Like I always tell her, and you've heard me say this before, you know, I'm 21 and a half years older than my daughter, and nothing is going to lessen that time. I'm always going to be 21 and a half years older than my daughter. And so I guess when you look at it, she's 20-some years older than her son, and he's still in that same position. Even though he's 75, she still talks to him, you know, like he's her child. That's it. You're never going to go. So it's just amazing, the process of raising a child, and it's never over. You know, I see so many people on the switchboard. I hope you're enjoying the conversation. I hope you're getting something from it. We're not trying to dominate. If you want to participate, just click one on your phone, and I'll tune you in, and we can hear what you have to say. It's not an easy thing. It pierced my heart when I think of mother and daughter relationships, and when I have daughters tell me, you know, I just can't get along with her. She makes my life miserable. Whenever I try, she does this, and I just want to be my own person. We are not perfect as mothers, and this is my plea to daughters. And when we think about it, I keep telling you, we're all women, we are all daughters, we all have our own experiences with our mothers. You know, look back at your experience with your mother. Look at how you dealt with certain situations with your mother and your mother's response to those situations. And therefore, try to find a happy medium. And as Angela said, there's only one way, you know, and We're not trying to make you into anybody that you're not, but God is bigger, you know, and you have to seek the Holy Spirit in order to get the answers, because some things, you know, we just don't know. It's just so wide, so deep. It's out of, you know, out of our range. We can't see it, but when you consult the Holy Spirit, you're given the answers. The answers are always within you. You just have to seek out to find them. And when I'm doing counseling with mothers and daughters, I tell them when they come to me, I can see in their eyes. They think I have the answer. Oh, we're going to get it here. Yes, you are going to get it. But you're going to get the answer through me, not from me, from the higher power. Because I don't have the answer. You have the answer within you. My job is to help you tap into that inner power and that inner spirit that you have to turn on that light bulb so that you can see, wow. Because when you think back on it, you knew all the time. Sometimes we just don't want to accept the answer, you know, because the answer is there. It may not be the answer that you want, and because it's not what you want to hear, it's not what you want to accept, we just assume, nah, that's not it. I'm going to try something else. I'm going to ask 10 more people and see if I can find it. Because what you're looking for, not the answer, you're looking for someone to agree with you. And the minute you find someone that agree with you on whatever the situation is, you assume that's the answer. But ask yourself, how many people did you have to go through to get someone to agree with you? You had to go through a number of people. Now, every once in a while, you'll find someone. You may, and we talked about this a couple weeks ago. I had a conversation with someone about having friends that always agree with you. When you have friends that always agree with you, it's easy for you to get the answer that you want. But if you have a friend that will challenge you and will not agree with you and be honest with you, then listen at that friend, because they're telling you, you know, this is my opinion. I don't agree with you, and it's okay. But don't look for someone that disagrees with you, because you have the answer within. Go with the answer that God has given you, and you're going to be right every time. So today, as I sit here and I think about it, I often wonder, and I think I might do some research to find the young lady, just to see where she's at now in her life and how the effects of the mother and daughter relationship, the counseling that we've done, and, you know, to do an update to see if she has children of her own. By now, she should be, let's see, we're talking 10, about 22 years old. So that is worth the research, and I think I'll put something out there to do that. In the meantime, all I'm saying to you is that just be conscious of mother and daughter relationships, of the relationships of the women that are around you. And if you can, at any time, take something from the mother and daughter roundtables, the conversation, share it with someone. You know, I was listening to the mother and daughter roundtable. This is a discussion that came up. These were some of the suggestions. You know, give them my email address. We are here as ambassadors to help other mothers and daughters. And the one thing that we want to do is just a campaign to get mothers to have a conscious moment of their relationship with their daughters. Because I'm telling you, once you define, embrace, and bond with your daughter, you will do that with all the women that you encounter in every relationship in your life. If you don't get along with your daughter, you're not going to get along with your sisters. And I know you say, I say this all the time. Yes, I do, because I need for people to get it. You start at home. If you don't get along with your mother, you cannot get along with other women, because somewhere you are scarred mentally. And that scar will reproduce itself in your conversation. It will reproduce itself in your behavior. It will reproduce yourself in the actions that you take toward other women. You will either talk about them, you'll have negative thoughts, you can never see good in them, or it could be the reverse. If you have a loving relationship with your mother, when you meet women, you're going to see the good in them. You'll be able to say, wow, hi, how are you today? Don't you look pretty? And mean it. Some people say it and don't mean it. And mean it. How are you today? And mean it. Is there anything I can help you with today on your job? You would go to someone and say, I see you're struggling with that. Is there anything I can do to help you? Because you're willing and lovingly willing to serve someone else. But until you get to that place where you resolve the issues between your mother and yourself, it's just going to spill over. And I don't care if you're 90 years old, you will have those same scars if you don't do something to correct them. So look at yourself from within. Look at your scars. You know what they are. You know what they look like. You know how deep they are. And decide, do I want to keep them? And it's okay if you want to keep them, because you're entitled. That's why God gave you free will. You can keep them, you can enjoy them the way that you want, or you can change them and decide I'm going to have a peaceful, loving life. And I, wherever I go, people are going to feel the effect of my love from within. Thank you very much. This is Dr. Bessie Fletcher. I hope that you have something that you can carry away with you this week. Have a blessed day.